As we get closer to the 2020 elections, it's clear that the majority of the 24 Democratic candidates want something akin to Medicare for All. Assumably, once the Democratic candidate emerges, likely on March the 3rd, when California and a dozen other Super Tuesday states hold their primary elections, we'll have a better idea as to who will be the likely Democratic contender on November the 3rd's ballot, and what Medicare for All will actually look like. Hi, I'm Amy Grant of the ABL organization, and in the meantime, the folks currently in office in Washington, D.C. have announced several proposals aimed at cutting healthcare spending, as concerns about medical costs are emerging as a major issue on both sides of the aisle. First, after 3 years of listening to the nation's 126 PACE programs, CMS has finally finalized a rule to update and modernize requirements for the program of all-inclusive care for the elderly, the more cost-effective alternative to nursing home care for frail elderly individuals who are typically dually eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid. As ABL member Linda Trowbridge, CEO of Center for Elders Independence, summarized, while we did not get everything we wanted, it's a great improvement. It offers a few new areas of flexibility, for example, types of allowed primary care providers, assessments, periodic audits, and marketing. It actually seems to allow us to contract with brokers if they are appropriately trained about PACE, which is a big priority for some of our members, and more flexible than what was in the proposed rule. Next, with an eye to reducing spending, President Trump wants to make it easier for patients and employers to comparison shop for healthcare by way of an executive order on pricing transparency. The order could potentially direct federal agencies to force insurers and hospitals to disclose for the first time the discounted rates they negotiate for services, which are typically shrouded in secrecy. Apparently, the administration is also looking to use agencies such as the Justice Department to tackle regional monopolies of hospitals and health insurance plans over concerns they are driving up the cost of care. Meanwhile, HELP, the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee Chairman, Tennessee Republican Lamar Alexander, and Washington Democrat Patty Murray, have teamed up to release the Lower Healthcare Costs Act of 2019. The bipartisan draft legislation contains five titles addressing various health policies under the committee's jurisdiction: surprise billing, drug pricing, transparency in healthcare, improvements to public health, and promotion of health IT. Washington Beltway insiders believe there is support for curbing drug prices on both sides of the aisle. Only two issues stand in the way: how to do it, as how drugs are actually priced is more complex than Churchill's riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma, and secondly, which political party will actually get the credit for doing it. If the sponsors have their way, we'll know next month. On the opposite side of the country, California Governor Gavin Newsom wants to spend about $98 million a year to provide Medi-Cal to low-income undocumented immigrants between the ages of 19 and 25. While those younger than 19 are already covered, the state Senate budget proposal would also add coverage for people 65 and older living in the country illegally. Not to be outdone, the California Assembly voted 44-11 to extend eligibility for full-scope Medi-Cal benefits to individuals of all ages, if otherwise eligible for those benefits, but for their immigration status. However, Newsom has raised concerns about the Assembly's bill because it is estimated to cost over $3 billion a year. That said, Newsom wants to reinstate the ACA's concept of a tax penalty for not having health care coverage to fund his plan to help approximately 850,000 Californians pay for their health insurance premiums. The only difference? It would be a California tax penalty. If he succeeds, California would be the first state to subsidize middle-income people who make too much to qualify for federal financial aid, and the first to have a statewide mandate for health insurance. Obviously, the race to 2020 has begun in earnest, and we're bound to see a lot more political action at both the federal and state level before next year's general elections, when millennials and Gen Zs are expected to make up 36% of the electorate. So, stay tuned.